Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spencer Retail 4Q FY25 post-result earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on the touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Akhil Parekh from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rutuja. On behalf of B&K Securities, I welcome you all to the fourth quarter FY25 conference call of Spencer Retail. We have with us Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO and MD, Mr. Sandeep Banka, CFO, Mr. Anand Kumar, Group Head IR, and Mr. Pankaj Kedia, Vice President, Investor Relations. Without taking much time, I'll hand over the call to Anuj sir for his opening remarks, post which we'll open the floor for a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, and good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Spencer Retail Limited Q4 earnings call. Truly appreciate your participation and your time. What I'll do is I'll start with a brief commentary on both Q4 and FY25, and then open it up for Q&A. So starting with the commentary, look, it is going to sound repetitive and boring, but it's consistent. As we had talked about in the last two quarterly calls, in FY25, particularly in H2, we had embarked on an efficiency-led EBITDA transformation, specifically in Spencer's, that involved a strategic ramp-down exit from two regions, which was North and NCR, involving a closure of 47 stores. That was effected in quarter two, by the end of quarter two. So we've now seen two quarters play out post the execution of that. And I think the results have started flowing in, and therefore, really, the story of FY25, in some sense, is a story of two halves, H1 and H2. But I'll not get into H1, H2. I'll give you a brief commentary on where we ended up for the full year. So ended up the full year at a top line, both at a consolidated level, shy of about 2,000 crores, 1,995 crores, versus 2,345 crores in the previous year, which was in FY24. So that's about a 15% drop in top line, but that's attributed to the closure of stores. If you look at it at an LFL level, like-for-like operating regions in Spencer's, it was relatively flat, and so was for Nature's Basket, where there was no such exit from stores or regions in NB. What it really helped us do was to really control our operating expenses and reduce our losses. So there was, at a full year level, at FY25, at a consolidated level, we had a 50 crore reduction in operating costs versus FY24. This was largely driven by Spencer's. So Spencer's operating expenses for the full year were 76 crores lower than the previous year, which was a combination of, I would say, costs avoided by store closures, but also a round of optimization, quite a significant optimization of overhead costs and support costs, which was done at the corporate office. Nature's Basket, the operating expenses went up in FY25 versus FY24, largely on account of new store openings. So overall, I think what it helped deliver for the company was an EBITDA of 60 crores for the full year 2025 versus 14 crores in FY24. So that is small, but I would say significant in terms of the trajectory. So you could say it's a 400% increase in EBITDA, but going up from 14 crores to 60 crores. And that really reinforces our decision of really focusing on a few geographies as far as Spencer's is concerned and driving efficiency. And I'll come back to what our continued outlook is. But really, for us, it has reset our base in terms of what geographies we operate in. It's also helped us in terms of building the right support costs for a scale of business that the business is now. And therefore, intrinsic operating KPIs have been improved. The ongoing focus is now how to drive growth and I'll discuss about the growth drivers for both SRL and for NB. But overall for FY25, I think the EBITDA improvement was significant. Now, this allowed us to narrow our PBT losses, which were 266 crores in FY24, and they came down by 20 crores in FY25. At a quarter four level, look, quarter four is always a little softer in the industry compared to quarter three. So we reported a sales of 412 crores versus a number of 547 crores for Q4 last year. But that Q4 last year included all operating regions of Spencer's. If you look at it from a LFL level, Spencer's quarter four this year over quarter four last year was flat. Nature's Basket, we had some headwinds, and I'm going to talk about Nature's Basket separately. So we had headwinds in the Nature's Basket business in quarter four. NB reported a minus 13% sales versus the previous year's quarter four. But like I said, quarter four saw also a sharp reduction in our operating expenses, largely led by Spencer's. So overall, 30 crore reduction in operating costs. EBITDA for us at a consolidated level for quarter four was break-even, which was minus 8 crores in quarter four of last year. And the losses, the PBT was 68 crores versus 81 crores last year, quarter four. So I think that's the overall commentary. Like I said, look, it's a tale of two parts, both H1, H2, but also Spencer's and Nature's Basket. So I'll talk about Spencer's first, and then I'll come to Nature's Basket. As far as Spencer's was concerned, and I'll give the commentary now for the 12-month period, because that's, I think that captures everything which we've done in H1 and H2. So for Spencer's, the whole ramp down of the regions helped us to exit from high loss-making stores, operate in regions where we have relatively competitive presence, and our operating metrics are better than what they are in the regions where we decided to shut down operations. So revenue from operations for Spencer's for FY25 was 1,700 crores versus 2049 in FY24, which is a 17% decline. Margins were 80 basis points down, but again, this is largely attributed to the drop in margins which happened in Q2. As a result of the liquidation, when we were shutting down 47 stores, we had to do a judicious liquidation of inventory, which was there, rather than carrying that inventory and bringing it to the other regions. So margins for Spencer's were at 18.1%. The expenses, which I had covered earlier, the expenses were 76 crores lower in operating costs, which resulted in an EBITDA for Spencer's for the full year to be 53 crores. Versus break even last year. So I think this EBITDA represents about 3.1% of sales, and gives us the confidence that that's the right trajectory for Spencer's. We also announced in quarter three end and in quarter four beginning was that we'd launched our remodeled e-commerce proposition as a quick delivery proposition titled Jiffy. And really quarter four was setting up the Jiffy business for scaling it up in the current fiscal. Our ambition for the current fiscal is to double the scale of the business. What we have achieved in quarter four is impressive in terms of the traction. Currently, this Jiffy proposition, which is a 30-minute delivery proposition, is there in Calcutta, where we have a large density of stores. So out of the 42 stores which are there in Calcutta, 29 are equipped to handle e-commerce operations. We haven't set up an extensive network of dark stores because with this footprint of stores, we can service most of the pin codes in Calcutta at a 30-minute delivery frequency. The Q4, the year-on-year Q4 of FY25 versus 24, we saw 58% year-on-year user growth, which is close to 70,000 monthly transacting users. Our order growths have been, in the order of 47%. So we do an average of about 1.8 lakh, bills per month. The ambition is to quickly take it to 2 lakhs, and then get to a number which is exit the year by 3 lakh orders a month, which is approximately 10,000 orders a day. Our sales, our AOV continue to be, they've come down a little bit, obviously, because of the whole quick commerce, number of bills go down, but still is at a very healthy AOV is 760, which if those of you who track quick commerce, that's 1.5x of what the quick commerce peers do. So on Jiffy, we are consolidating our presence. We've launched an interesting campaign, ATL campaign to spread awareness. Our cost of acquisition of new customers is quite, I would say, competitive, given the fact that A, we are targeting a lot of our offline customer base and getting them to use Jiffy as a through-the-month top-up kind of a consumption option. We have a campaign which is vernacular plus English. The strapline of Jiffy is Jo Bhi Chao, Phat Se Pao, or Jhat Se Pao. So it's a 30-minute delivery proposition. And we've seen good traction of it in Calcutta. We are extending this to Lucknow and Banaras, again on the premise that both cities have a good concentration of stores, and therefore we'll be able to service a large part of the city infrastructure with the store network which we have. So as we speak, in Lucknow, we have enabled e-commerce fulfillment from 9 stores. We have a network of 18 stores in Lucknow. We have 8 stores in Banaras, which will all 8 will become e-commerce fulfillment points. So that's the progress on Jiffy. We've also tried and we piloted a dark store in a part of Calcutta where we felt that our store reach was not allowing it for us to deliver within 30 minutes. That dark store is in an area called Tollyganj in Calcutta, and it came online in January. We are doing about 700 orders a day, the whole fulfillment time is less than 25 minutes on that. And of course, that's something which we will do. We are not, like I said, the plan is not to open dark stores, but to leverage our infrastructure of existing stores to do it. The plan next year is, of course, the growth ambitions of SRL are, I would say, strongly pinned on driving this proposition because that's where the consumer behavior has evolved moving towards. So we will make the right investments. The investments have been done last year, and as far as the development of the tech stack is concerned, bringing on board a team which will run this whole, whether it be the growth part of it, whether it be the analytics part of it, or the operations part of it. So all of that is done, and we are looking at doubling our top line as far as, Jiffy is concerned for the financial year 26. So I think that's a bit on Spencer's. Now coming to Nature's Basket, I'll just end with the fact that Spencer's today, is operating, has a base of, total, we have about 89 stores which are operational. We are looking at adding selectively a few more stores in the current fiscal. These stores will not be in new cities, but will be in the existing geographic clusters. So we're looking at 3 to 4 stores in Calcutta. We're looking at 3 to 4 stores in Lucknow, and then one in Banaras, and one in Allahabad, and potentially one in Gorakhpur. So I think that'll be the plan as far as new store additions are concerned. We've set, I would say, fairly high benchmarks for evaluating any investment recommendation for opening of the stores, because we want all stores to be profitable in the first 6 months, because this whole journey which we've embarked upon of focusing on geographies and driving store level profitability, that's something which we don't want to slip by opening stores and then incurring losses in the new stores. So it is going to be a calibrated, careful, concentrated expansion of stores as far as Spencer's is concerned in FY26. Now coming to Nature's Basket, let me be upfront. Nature's Basket had some headwinds in the business last year. So if you look at the full year results, top line was almost flat. So we did 294 crores versus 296 crores last year. The number of stores is at 32. While we opened a few stores, we also shut a few high loss making stores. We believe that we are at the right level of stores, given the fact that we are largely concentrated in 2 to 3 cities. Our largest presence is in Bombay, followed by Bangalore, and then we have Delhi, NCR region, we have 3 stores. Calcutta, we have 3 stores, and in Pune, we have 1 store. And in Ahmedabad, we have 1 store. Nature's Basket was, some internal challenges. We had availability issues. As you know, a lot of the product assortment is imported gourmet stuff, and we had some supply chain issues in quarter 4 linked to the availability of these products. And as a result of that availability, we saw softer sales. A lot of our clientele comes in for this very differentiated imported premium gourmet offering. And in the absence of that, it really, the whole basket drops. That was one impact, and that impact we saw both on top line as well as margins getting impacted. Also, some of the stores which we had opened, were not able to deliver the top line as far as what the initial startup period was there. It was slower than expected ramp up, which also impacted. However, the team there has taken quick corrective actions. We have intensified our local area marketing activation. In quarter 4, there was a membership program called Elysium, which was introduced. And that has demonstrated strong traction amongst the users. As you know, this is a very, very demanding, refined, sophisticated clientele with a pretty high repeat and fairly high average monthly spend. So this membership program is exactly designed to reward repeat and to build loyalty. In the first 3 months of operation, we've had 4,300 odd members who enrolled, and really the goal is to drive 15,000 membership up to 15,000 members by the end of this fiscal, and we expect about 25% of the overall revenues to be accounted for this set of loyal repeat customers who will be covered under the Elysium program. The other thing which besides the membership program, NBA has, Nature's Basket has also looked at the whole out-of-store, which is basically e-commerce plus the phone delivery channel for Nature's Basket. While it is a very strong premium experience-led shopping, but herein also we've witnessed that these consumers also want a convenient option of ordering on the app or on the phone. So there was a revamp and a relaunch of the company's mobile application that did have an impact in quarter 4, but that's fully executed now and going live from it's gone live from April 1st. So that is going to drive a lot of growth as well. We expect about currently the share of the out of store business in Nature's Basket is about 13%. And we expect that to go up to 18% in the next year. Also, besides the membership and the e-commerce, the team is constantly looking at the product assortment with a complete, evaluation of the product portfolio from a point of view of optimizing sales and space efficiency. So while we carry a wide assortment, the width is there. We're also looking at how this inventory performs, which are the best sellers, where do we get the highest Jim Roy and Jim Roth, and therefore really carry and buy an inventory which has higher turns, and therefore it helps us to manage working capital and be more efficient. This we expect will also result in gross margins expansion. So the slight depletion in gross margins, 90 basis point depletion in gross margins, which we experienced in FY25, that is going to be built back, and the team is quite confident of getting to levels which are going to be closer to the 30% mark as far as Nature's Basket is concerned. Besides this, as we did in Spencer's for FY24, we're also looking at areas where we can look at optimizing our operating costs as far as NB is concerned. And therefore, we're looking at store operating expenditure being optimized. We are looking at corporate overhead costs, looking at some level of optimization there, and looking at what kind of synergies we can have with the support organization which is there at Spencer's, whether it be in terms of finance, supply chain, HR, and obviously also on the supply chain. So clearly, really the mandate is how do we drive top line. Our top line, and specifically from a sales per square foot, we don't give the numbers, but there is going to be a concerted effort using membership, using assortment strategy, looking at PD plus e-commerce to drive growth from existing stores. So unlike the last 2 years where we were looking at expansion in stores, this year is about first driving a higher level of sales through the same number of stores. We have 32 stores right now. There are two more stores which were shut last year for renovation, which will come on board. So we will come back to 34 stores in this fiscal year very soon. And we believe that we can drive turnover in the range of about 320 crores for the next fiscal year, and drive it with the existing number of stores with the margins around 30%, with operating costs which will be lower, and therefore target getting to a level of store EBITDA which a premium business like this should be generating an EBITDA which should be in the level of about 8%. So that's the plan for Nature's Basket. So a lot of work on Nature's Basket on driving both sales and optimizing costs. So if I were to kind of summarize FY25 and the outlook for FY26, FY25 clearly efficiency-led EBITDA transformation, where some tough calls were taken, were executed largely with respect to our operating costs. On the Spencer side of the business, on Nature's Basket, it was whatever work had to be done on opening stores and renovation of a few stores. But really, the focus now is having achieved a certain level of, I would say, reset of the business and the thing. The focus for FY26 for both businesses is to drive top line growth. We want to target mid-single-digit growth as far as Spencer's and Nature's Basket is concerned, driven by online in both parts of the business, but also given by same-store growth in both businesses. And we will keep the operating costs at the same level as we have in Spencer's and drive for optimization in Nature's Basket. And we are quite confident that, having set the cost structures, now the single-minded focus for the business is to drive growth, and that's what we have geared up for FY26. So yes, overall FY25, there has been an improvement in the EBITDA levels, but I think going forward we need to drive further improvement, and that is not going to come from cost optimization, but that is going to come from top line addition, which will come through growth. So that's the narrative for both FY25 and FY26. Yeah. With that, I'll take a pause and then open it up for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen who ask a question, you may press star and one now. The first question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity and for the presentation. My first question is on Nature's Basket actually. You mentioned that a couple of the EBITDA levels were negative because of two main reasons. One, there were supply chain issues in the gourmet food, as well as the second, that the newly opened stores did not perform well. Can you please share a little more detail about these challenges with the newly opened stores? Is it footfall-driven, ticket size-driven, or any color on it, please?
So I think, it's for Nature's Basket, the commentary was around the fact around, yes, there were some supply chain disruptions in quarter four. And on the new stores which had opened in the year, the ramp-up which we had expected had not come through. And it's a combination of two things. One is, of course, if we didn't have the right availability of the assortment in a new area, plus, driving footfalls in an environment where people are going lesser and lesser to physical stores and doing an online. So it was a combination of both. I can't break out that number and say that where was the bigger impact, because these are intertwined. If you don't have the right level of availability at a given point of time, specifically for a new store, then it does impact, people who come in for the first time and then people who come back. But I think this is something which is a problem which has been addressed, is solvable. It's a largely internal operation issue, and we will get there with that.
Understood. This is helpful. Second question on the balance sheet, please. If I understand it correctly, the net debt is around 858 crores now. With a leveraged balance sheet, and I understand that a large portion of the long-term debt is also maturing in this financial year. Can you hear me?
Sorry, we're losing you. Oh.
I'm using my headset as well. Is it better now?
Yes, Parikshit.
Hello?
Yes, Parikshit. Now it's better.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to understand, your commentary on the balance sheet. It's at a difficult level at this point, as I would say. Can you talk a little bit about it, and then I can please ask some follow-up questions?
Sorry, Parikshit, we again lost you in the second half. You said you had a question on the balance sheet. It's at a, and then I lost you after that.
The net debt right now is at around 860 crores, which limits the capability to further, take on debt in order to grow or for any other capex required. However, I do acknowledge the fact that you have mentioned that there are available lines of credit. But can you talk a little more about the balance sheet? How are you looking to deleverage that in the next couple of quarters with a large chunk of the long-term debt also maturing in FY20.
Parikshit, this is Pankaj Kedia. See, the debt position obviously remains high, and we are aware of that. Last 1 year, we took a board resolution to, enabling resolution to raise some equity, and we are looking at the board level exploring various options to raise equity. But the fact that the market capitalization is not supportive at the moment is something which has a bearing on our mind. Having said that, obviously this is part of a large industrial house, and the lines of credits are available, which is getting utilized. And as debts mature, obviously we will be looking at refinancing them. But at the same time, what we have been trying to do constantly in the last 1 year is set the house in order in terms of operating numbers. And Anuj took a lot of time in a detailed explanation of that part, where whatever we did in this entire FY25 has resulted us into a significant loss reduction, and the fact that today EBITDA margin from a 0% is upward of 3%. We are looking at further expansion in our margin profile this financial year, which will be a combination of both sales growth and cost optimization. And we believe that this will help us to get into a situation where we'll be able to raise capital. When and how and the quantum of that, obviously, you would understand would be difficult for us to define at this moment. But the entire team is working towards that side.
Understood. And just talking about the financial profitability, it includes a large chunk of it is because of the other income, and most of it was because of the reversals of the store closure. This support likely won't be there in FY26. So, are we confident about maintaining profitability even on a financial metric?
Yes. So I think you spotted it right. I think the EBITDA gains were also because of other income. We don't expect the same quantum of other income coming in, but please remember that, you know, this number includes the H1, where we had high loss-making stores. So we are quite confident that on both businesses, for FY26, at an operational EBITDA level, which is your pre-IND-AS level, we will be able to get to profitability. We will be able to get to a break-even level. And I think that's the pursuit. Your cost structures have been brought down. So yes, you will not see that large other income coming in, but your expenses and your margins have all been calibrated at that level where we will see a break-even at the EBITDA level. And I think, you know, that's something which is also linked to your previous question, that anything which we need to execute in terms of a potential restructuring of the balance sheet will get accelerated the moment the business has delivered on the operational turnaround. Like I said, it's not that we haven't started the journey. We are 2 quarters into the journey. Last year, we had mentioned that it will take us between 12 to 18 months to get to a truly break-even at an EBITDA level, which is a pre-IND-AS level. I think we've made, if you calculate the true operational EBITDA last year versus this year, there has been a 50 crore improvement. We are still at an operational EBITDA level, we are still negative. This is a financial EBITDA. And we are quite confident that next year, both in Spencer's and in Nature's Basket, we'll be able to break even at the operational EBITDA level. Once that happens, then, you know, it's put simply, we're not losing money from operations, at operations. Then it's a question of, you know, your interest in your, you know, debt repayment. And that, I think, is a strong signal for us to put into motion anything which we need to do from a capital restructuring point of view. It'll give a lot of confidence to internal and external stakeholders that the business is at an operational level not losing money. Yes, the large debt burden has to be serviced, but once we can consistently show over 2 or 3 quarters that, you know, operational EBITDA is break-even or positive, then I think that will be set into motion. If you recollect, in Q3, for Spencer's, we were at an operational EBITDA level, which is pre-INDS, we were break-even. So I think that is something which we will need to deliver over the next 4 quarters, and that's what the whole team has signed up to, and we will deliver that. And that's not just on Spencer's, but also on Nature's Basket. Yeah?
Understood. Just my final question, if I may. Are there any, you know, tentative plans on liquidating any part of the business in the next 1 or 2 quarters?
No, there are no plans to liquidate any part of the business. So we have 3 parts of the business. We have the Spencer's business. We have the Spencer's online, which is Jiffy and Nature's Basket. And all three are integral to our plans of driving top line. I think whatever, surgical reset we had to do for the high loss-making regions and the exits from one part of the business, which is Spencer's, has been done. The mandate to us and the management team is to now grow the top line from this level on all 3 parts of the business. Yeah.
Understood. This is all very helpful. Thank you very much for your answers. Good luck for the current quarter.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Parikshit. This is Sandeep Banka here. I'm audible?
Yes, sir, you are.
Just to add what Anuj has just said, in the other income, apart from the other income, there is a major chunk as a expenses also on account of the closing of stores.
Absolutely.
So this other income, so that is taking care. So the other income part, which is showing as a higher side, getting offset by majorly because of the closure store impact.
Yes, sir. That's understood. Thank
so
you.
This is a true performance, actually, if you be more specific.
Okay.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ishani Kacholia from NV Alpha Cap Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask by when do you expect that your to turn a profit, not just at the EBITDA level, but like when in how many years do you expect Nature's Basket will be able to generate a profit on the NPAT level?
Your question is only for Nature's Basket, or is it at a consolidated level?
For both.
Or is it both?
Nature's Basket and on a consolidated level.
Look, I can't give you a concrete timeline saying in X number of months both will turn. I think what I can give you is, we'll break this up into parts. I think this is a journey which has to have well-defined intermediate timeline. And the first timeline for us as a management is that by the end of FY26, if at an EBITDA mm-hmm. level, both businesses will break even. Then it's a question of how we look at recapitalizing, restructuring our debt to get to a level of PBT break even in at the consol level. So I would not hazard a guess right now. I think the first and anything which I say would also it's just a statement. I think what we need to do and demonstrate and reach the first step of the journey is to be at an EBITDA level break even on both businesses, and that we believe is a 4-quarter journey. And we will be able to break even at an operational EBITDA level, by the end of FY26. That's the best outlook I can give you, which is in a realistic time frame. I think post that will set into motion a lot of other things, which will be able to where we'll be able to comment on the time frame to get to a truly at a PBT level a break even.
Fair enough, thanks.
And just to understand the magnitude, I mean, if we were to kind of break even at an operational EBITDA level, the PBT levels will come down to 100 crores loss from
okay.
a current of 200. And, yeah. So I think, what I can tell you is that in 12 to 15 months from now, we can be looking at an EBITDA break even and at a PBT losses coming down to half of the current. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aradhana Jain from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. A couple of questions. First on Jiffy, could you throw some light on how does the inventory for Jiffy work vis-a-vis, say, any other player in the market who's into the quick commerce business? And I understand that you're not opening any dark stores and you're doing through your existing store. But how does the inventory work, and going forward, do we expect the inventory to go up from the current levels because of Jiffy? That would be my first question.
Yeah. So should I answer the first question or you want to throw out your questions?
Yeah.
Okay. So look, good question. The way the inventory management for Jiffy happens is because it's the fulfillment is happening from the stores. There is no separate inventory being carried for Jiffy. It is the store inventory which gets reflected on the app. So if I'm sitting here and looking at my app, it picks up the store inventory from the nearest store within my geolocation, and that inventory gets reflected. And then I place an order in that. So there's no separate inventory in that. Now, the risk which you could run is that if let's say you have 5 pieces of a particular SKU, and while I'm placing an order for 4, there is a customer who walks into the store and at same point of time buys those 5 units. Then it will result in an order drop. But again, you know, that's something which we are refining two ways. Number one, we are defining a safety stock. So if there is anything which is less than 2 pieces, 3 pieces in the store, it will not reflect on the app. So you keep that buffer. And number two, you do not real-time but near real-time updation of store inventory. So the moment, let's say an item gets billed at the store, from the POS, that update hits the e-commerce inventory dump, and therefore that inventory reduces. So I think that's how we are managing it as far as store operations, because there is no other way to do it. This is a common inventory, the store inventory which gets exposed. What we are doing is for the dark store, yes, the dark store will have a separate thing, but like I said, we are not currently opening too many dark stores. We just have one dark store. And for that dark store, the inventory is managed just like we have a distribution center for our stores. We have a within the same distribution center which services the stores, there is a separate holding area for the Jiffy dark store. So that's how the inventory management is happening. And I think so far, you know, that's working well. It's not that we have 100% in full as far as the order is concerned. We do have order drops, but like I explained to you, that order drop is more that, you know, 0.01% probability that you have 5 units, and when I'm placing that order at the same time, some customer walks in and buys 5 units from the store. So it's, I think, something which is manageable, and you know, that's the way we intend to manage the inventory. Yeah, I hope I've answered that question.
Yes, and what would be the fill rate for Jiffy currently?
So again, the fill rate is in excess of 90%.
Okay, and so this is the first quarter, like fourth quarter would have been the first quarter where we would have basically launched Jiffy, right? So any sense on how, what sort of revenue we would have made on Jiffy, and for FY26, any guidance on how much revenue expectation you have from this particular segment?
Yeah. So like I mentioned in my thing, in quarter four, if I compare quarter four of FY25 with 24, we saw 58% growth as far as your unique monthly users are concerned. Our order, which is the number of bills, increased by 45%. So we do, like I mentioned, we do about 1.7 lakh you know, orders a month, which is, you're talking about 6,000 orders a day. And our AOV is 760 rupees is the bill value or the order value. The ambition is to double the size of the business of what we did in FY25. That would mean we get to a level of close to 3 lakh orders a month, which is 10,000 orders a day, at an AOV of about 750. So you can do the maths. You know, we're talking about an exit of around 25, I mean, doing a level of about 25 crores a month. Yeah, that's the
number. Got it. Also, currently 85% of our business top line comes from sensors and the rest is from NBL. So, in the near future, do we see this mix to change, given that we are also going to be in the online space? So any change in the mix that we expect going forward?
Sorry, the mix change between NB and sensors, or within NB the mix between offline and online?
Actually, all. Basically, after Jiffy coming in, how much are we expecting the online portion business plus the offline,
yeah,
and within the two formats that we have?
So I'll give you, you know, I won't give you exact numbers, I'll give you directional broad numbers. The intent is for both businesses, for the online part to be closer to 20% of the overall business mix. Currently, we are at 13 to 14%, both in Nature's Basket as well as in Spencer's. So the idea is that we get to a level which is 80% offline, 20% online. Yeah. As far as between Spencer's and Nature's Basket, what's the kind of growth outlook? I think both are going for growth. And we look, like I said, the number which I had given you was mid-single digit growth is in both parts of the business. Yeah. So the overall mix, or I would say mixed contribution between Spencer's and NB would not change much. But in both businesses, the online mix will go up from the current 13% to 14% to
20%. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bharat from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Bharat this side. A couple of questions from mine. First,
Mr. Bharat, may we request you to speak a bit louder? We cannot hear you, sir.
Am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, a couple of questions. So, first, when we look at Ziffy, so though you are new to this business as such, in a way, but do we see that there are some market share gains which have been taken by the e-com players in our Spencer's or in our Nature's Basket segment, primarily driven by the fact that the same store sales growth has been remaining to be nearly around flat? So, can you specify on that?
Sorry, I didn't get the exact question.
I'm just asking with regard to the market share gains. Primarily, have there been some sort of an impact because of the quick commerce play, which have taken near about market share from us? Because if I look at the singles or the same store sales growth, that remains pretty flat.
Yeah. No, so I think, look, it's a fairly obvious answer. As the quick commerce penetration usage has gone up, it has resulted in an overall, I would say, channel share shift between, let's say, modern trade, Kirana, and quick commerce. So we operate in the modern trade format. And if you look at the industry reports, and which is what we are also seeing in our part of the business, quick commerce is gaining at the expense of both Kiranas and modern trade. So yes, I mean, if we see lack of growth, that's because consumers are adopting quick commerce, and which is also the reason why we are not being oblivious to that, and we have refined our earlier slotted delivery proposition to a quick commerce kind of a delivery proposition by launching Jiffy. So yeah, clearly, there is, I would say, a channel share shift which has happened, where quick commerce has gained share from both modern trade and Kirana, none of the players in Kiranas or modern trade have escaped this trend, and both have lost shares.
Right. But sir, for us, because they have the balance sheet power with them with respect to funding or even doing out the cash plan. But with respect to us, I think we are already in a vicious cycle of debt. So I'm not sure how much promotion can we do with respect to Ziffy, but in a way it is impacting our current nature of business. Right. So what's the thought process behind it and how the company looks out on different prospects right now with respect to debt being an overhang for us? We have to rely further on equity raise. So what's the thought process behind the current nature of business?
Yeah. So I think, look, you're right. I mean, we don't have the same luxury of, a large private capital available to be spent in terms of building the businesses. But having said that, we are also not going for a complete pivot where we are saying that, we will drive $1 billion, $2 billion GMV. We are not saying that we will pivot from being a brick and mortar to being only online. Our expansion of our proposition is to offer our existing customers an online option so that they remain within the Spencer's Nature's Basket ecosystem. So, our cost of acquisition will be lower. The scale which we are operating will be lower. We are not, let me not use the word burn, but we are not, investing a huge amount just to buy growth. I think this is where the difference is. And therefore, if you look at the numbers, you know, I mean, a 300 crore aspiration for quick commerce for Spencer's in an overall context of where things are going is less than our fair share. And we believe the reason why we want to keep it at that level is because anything higher than that, can we do 1,000 crores in a year on quick commerce in, let's say, just in East India? Absolutely. But that would call for a substantial investment. And you're absolutely right. Today, our balance sheet does not allow us to, you know, if I may use the word, burn that kind of money. So we will not do that. We will do this in a calibrated manner. So yes, our approach is very different. You know, we are not going for top-line vanity, but we are doing it as a genuine proposition to our customers to give them a quick, convenient option. Because what we've seen is that consumers do come in at the beginning of the month. They do their monthly buying still. Maybe the basket size has gone down a little. Consumers would earlier buy for 3 to 4 times in a month on grocery. Now maybe they're buying 10 times in a month. They buy in the beginning of the month slightly higher items and a value, but then they do a lot more top-up missions happen during the month, and a lot more of these top-up missions are happening on quick commerce. So we are becoming, as consumers, we are becoming more unplanned, more instant gratification. And therefore, you know, our proposition also has to offer that. We can't just be banking on this. So we are looking at building our online proposition, but again, it is not to pivot into today. If it is 90-10, we don't want it to be 50-50. You know, we want this to be done in a manner which plays to our, you know, both our financials as well as to our business model. We are not investing in dark stores and opening 500 dark stores. You know, we are leveraging our network. So it's a very different approach from a business model and a scale ambition, but very similar in terms of what we want to offer our consumers. You know, so we want to give the same convenience. So if you go to our app today, it's the same look, feel, seamless, you know, selection, discovery, checkout process, delivery within 30 minutes. So all of that is what the consumer has become used to. But we are not going to chase growth at the cost of burning a hole in our P&L. No? So I hope I've answered your question.
So our last question with regard to the guidance. So I think you mentioned in qualified that you are looking at near about 320-odd crores with respect to Nature's Basket. Can you confirm with respect to the profitability across Nature's Basket and with respect to Spencer's also?
Yeah, we don't give an exact number, but like I think I mentioned it, that, you know, from an operational EBITDA, which is pre-INDS, both businesses we want to break in. Yeah, that's the guidance.
Right. That's it from my side, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions? So do we end the call now?
Yes. This was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management.
Yeah. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining in and listening to our commentary. And again, just want to sign off by reinforcing the fact that, you know, we are 2 quarters into our efficiency-led EBITDA transformation journey. And we will, the next 4 quarters will be sustaining this efficiency-led transformation and adding on growth. So it's going to be a combination of scale plus efficiency across both Nature's Basket and Spencer's, across both the offline as well as the online verticals in both the businesses. And the endeavor is to move towards a situation where in 4 quarters from now, we can be truly operational EBITDA positive, which then sets the stage for us to attack the next milestone, which is how do we look at the PGP turnaround. But the next 4 quarters are focused in terms of driving scale growth while sustaining the same efficiency levels to get to operational EBITDA. So thank you for your interest. Keep watching the space and we'll be in touch. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Bhattivaran Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.